of punim, lashon of seeing. On this pasuk, there is no Rashi. There is no Rashi. What did Ungla say? Ukro Yaakov Shema da Asra, the place, the name of the place, Peniel, are because Chazesi Mal Ochayoda Hashem Apin Bi Apin the ish Zovas Nafshi. Okay, so the time over here he adds in Ki Reisi Elokim. According to that, the chiddush of the Targum here in this pasuk is he says, I have seen the Mal Ochayoda Hashem. It doesn't see. It says we spent a lot of time learning the word Elokim today. This morning we spent so much time Hashgacha Pratis. We have over here, again, in the evening, a discussion of the word Elokim. Now I've seen a God. Did Yaakov Avinu really see Hashem? He did not. He saw the Malachim, and indeed the Targum to make it clear says that is what he saw. He saw the Malachim. He did not actually see Hashem. Now Ma'atzari. Let's see over here. Ma'atzari Parshas. The Yishlach, third Aliyah, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. What does he say over here? Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Malachayod Hashem Ayin Miluim. Alrighty, he says to look in the back of the book. I'm not going to do that now. Apin biapin Targum Kol Shnakosav Ponim Beponim Bemila El Kol Shnakosav He Bemokem Ois Bei Sheperishu Haramban Veradak. Okay, Ponim El Ponim. So he just says that the base turns into the El. And my neshama was saved. Okay, I was saved. Now let me take a look. Maybe it says that I'll go in the back of the sefer. Let me see what he says. It says to go to the Miluim. So I'm going to the Miluim over here in the back of the book.
When Yaakov told his wives that I spoke, Hashem came to me. Was it Hashem or was it a Malach?
Hashem. Alachar Hashem. So you have to go see that pasuk, what it says. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. You got to go see what it says.
Because it says Elohim also. So
I hear. All right. There's a very long. Let me scan through with you now. Over here in the back of this book, Ma'atzari, there's a very long explanation of this Targum. Let's see very quickly. Malochayod Hashem. He says, okay, go look in the back of the book. I guess when he says go back, it means that he has too much to write. What he writes over here in this sefer is in the margin. When he has a ganza pilpul, Then he says, go to the back. So in the back, indeed, he has a whole very long paragraph. Let me run through with you quickly. Malochoy shel Esav shnesa bekimoy. V'doy melukan shelokim misparish malach b'tehillim. Ani amarti elokim atem. V'ay mashakosav harambam. Ki kvar yoda kol ivri. Ki shem elokim mishtatef l'shem ulemalochim ulesheftim manhigi hamedinos. Okay. So that's what we learned today this morning. The word Elokim does not necessarily mean Hashem. Sometimes it means judges. Sometimes it means angels. Sometimes it means Hashem. And it means the Manhigi Hamedinos. This is a quote from the Rambam. It means Lashem, God, Vila Malochim, angels, Ulashoiftim, judges, and Manhigi Hamedinos. Okay, fine. Next. Then he writes, Kosa for Barbanel. Shalachain Targumulus Mal Achayo di Luhoyolokim Bimikra Hakodesh Barhu. Eich Roo Isai Ponimel Ponim, Harek Rak Mosha Binu Zocholis Galus Kazois, Kadama Kosa, the Loyokum Nakam Navi, Asha Yidoy Hashem Ponimel Ponim. Vyam Ramba, Shaldas Unkulish, Shatirgi Malacha Dashem Elokim Bimikra Huchol. Vehimshich, the Al Yal Al Daitra Kihu Kodesh. Ki ilule hoye kein hoye oimer vitzil nafshi veloit vatino tzel nafshi. Wow. Okay, see what the Barbanel says? The Barbanel says, no, who says this? This is the Rambam, it says. The Rambam quotes this. He says, how do you know in this pasuk that we're dealing over here with a malach not Hashem? Maybe means Hashem. I saw Hashem. Because it says vatino tzel. And not v'hitzil nafshi. If the Elokim here refers to Hashem, then it would be Hashem himself who saved my neshama. The pasuk should conclude, ki ra'isi Elokim ponim el ponim, v'hitzil, and he saved my neshama. The fact that it says, vati notzel, which is an indirect way, indirect means, it means that my life was preserved, that Hashem came to my rescue. Not that you, if the subject is Hashem, then once the subject is Hashem, so you would say that Hashem, you saved my neshama. But the fact that it says Vati Notzel, that my neshama was saved by somebody else, meaning Hashem, obviously the subject of this pasuk is not Hashem. Because you would not switch from speaking to Hashem and say Vati Notzel. Alright, it was kedai for me to come tonight just to learn this. This is very interesting. V'chein kosav Ramban, shalukim kan peyusha malach v'mokam acher, kosav Ramban, shalmalachim nikram elokim, kama shakosav hu elokei ha-elokim, v'shtachlu kolokim, kiyulim kol Hashem kolokim, aval eich aval ein kan das bal akedas yitzhak. Wow. Okay, so he says, shakosav al ma shakosav l'chamon targim unkulis Hashem elokim v'mokam rav revayah, Yakavana, Hamalachim Shapogu Malbalach Lerich, Aval Pasik Shlofanin, Huidif Hungulis, Latagim Shemulakim, Al Shem Hanichbot. The Kavanas and Mikam Malach Elokim, the Inch Sham Elokim Shemukhol, I'm asleep, absolutely Zeh, Chosab Loshna Kosam, Mila Malach, Mishatigim Elokim, Loshan Rabim, Alamalachim, Kivan Shul Kavan, Shoy Ro El Malach Echod. Okay, I'm not sure what he's saying over here. He's saying over here that Balakinis Yachit says,
you're saying by the
Akeva? No, not the Akeva, it's in the Sefer. That's the name by the yeah, but that's the yeah, I'm listening, yeah.
By the Akeva, it says,
yeah, I'm listening, yeah, yeah. Hello, man?
So that's what he's trying to explain.
There it says, Elokim, there it says, Malach Elokim, there it says, Malach Elokim, a Malach Elohim.
It doesn't say Malach. It says Malach Elohim.
Oh, so why the oh, so if, oh, oh, just say Elohim, right? Just say Elohim. If the word Elohim means an angel, so let it say by the Akedah Vayikra Lo Elohim. Over here it says I've seen Vayikra Yaakov Shem Malcham Kanil Kivisi Elohim. So if the word Elohim over here means the Targum translates Malachayoda Hashem. So there's no need, so likewise, in the Akedah, there was no need for the Pasuk to say Vayikra Lo Elohim, Malach Elohim. The Pasuk should say simply Vayikra Lo Elohim. If the word Elohim by default means a Malach, so there's no need in the Akedah to say Vayikra Malach Elohim.
So why by the Akedah to say Malach Elohim, right?
So I think what he says though is because he seems to say over here is because if it says Elohim, Elohim means simply, it's Lashon Rabbim, he saw multiple angels. And by the Akedah,
right,
there was only one angel. But wait, over here, there's also only one angel. By Yigo Yaakov, Shemim Makam, Abinia, Kirisi,
no, we thought it was more angels because there were angels that went to Eitzah.
That's those are different angels. That's by Yishlach Yaakov, Malachim, El Esav, Ochid, that's the beginning of the parasha. Over here,
right, so the whole story had a lot of angels. Aha.
Uh-huh. So you want to say, I don't know, it doesn't seem so. Vayisha, you want to say that this is the same location? Now, let me read what it says. Let me read what it says one more time. Okay, then he writes, Avol Ein Kein Das Bala Kedas Yitzhak. It's the name of his Sefer. The Akedas Yitzhak, Shekosav, Alma Shekosav Lekamon. Later on, the end of the end of Paraglam, the Gimel Pasagil, Tirgung Lashem Elokim B'mikra, Rav Revaya. Great ones. Yakavona, Hamalochim Shepogubo B'lechta L'darkoi. So he's facing a contradiction. Later in the parasha, when Yaakov finally reaches his destination, he sees angels. He sees Elohim. And there the Targum does not translate the word Malachaya de Hashem, but he translates it as Rav Revaya, a different word. Aval Pasuk Shulfanenu, Hedif Unkelis Targum Shem Elohim Al Shem Hanichbod. I don't know what that means over here. The Kavonas Amikwa Malach Elohim, the Ein Shem Elohim Shem Mikwa Chol. Af shalafi ze chosav loshna kosav mila malach mishatigim elokim loshna rabim ala malachim. I don't know what he's saying over here. I really don't understand what he's saying over here. All right, I don't know. Let me have another sefer over here. Let's see what it says over here in the sefer. Let's peek parashas vayishlach perek. Let's see parashas vayishlach here. Shlishi. Okay, this is Perek, what Perek is this? This is Perek Lamed Beis. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk 31. Perek Lamed Beis. Okay, Pasuk 31. No, Appen be Appen, there's no comment. No comment. All right, I don't know what to say. Okay, at least we take away from this something very interesting, that it says the word Elokim. Over here, Elokim refers to L'chore, in the Targum says, clear as day, Malochayod Hashem. And the question is, why didn't it say the word Malach Elokim? And that leads some to suggest maybe it means that he saw Hashem. But if you see Hashem, you have a problem, because kilo yirani ha'adam v'chai. You can't see Hashem. And furthermore, we have a very beautiful dig. It says, vati notzel nafshi, not v'hitzil nafshi. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk, v'yizrach le'hashemesh. The sun shone for him. The sun wrote yizrach. It broke forth, produced rays of light, lo. Hashemesh, Kasher Avar, when he passed as Pinuel. Okay, that's what he just paid. He called the place Pinuel. He called the place Piniel. Here it's been called Pinuel. It's already a change. First it says Piniel. And now it says Pinuel. Vihu Yaakov is Tzolea. He's limping al Yerechoi. That's a funny expression. He's limping on his hip. What does that mean? He's limping. Vihu Tzolea. Tzolea means his hip has been dislodged. What do you mean, al yirechay? I don't know. Let's see, what does Rashi on this pasuk say? Rashi, vayizrach loy hashemesh, l'shoin b'nei adam hu kishehi ganu l'mokim ploni heir lonu hashachar. This is, according to Rashi, he says this says something very powerful. L'shoin b'nei adam hu. That this expression in the pasuk is a mundane, this is the way human beings talk. This is not a divine expression. Torah, Dibra Torah, Kilashoin B'nei Adam. Occasionally, the Torah speaks in the language of mankind. And that's exactly what it says. Lashoin B'nei Adam Hu. Kishihiganu L'mokim Ploni. When we reached our destination, Heir Lanu HaShachar, it was dawn. The Shachar lit up for us. Zehu Pshutai. Umedrish Agada. Vayizrach Loi. What's the word Loi? Lit sorchoi, lirap ois es tzolatoi, to heal his limp. Kimo de sema, shemesh tzedaka, umarpe bichnefech, a son of righteousness and healing in its wings. The oisan shao shemihara lishkoya bishviloi, kishiyotza miber sheva, mihara lizrech bishviloi. Rashi over here is simply very fascinating that the sun, the hours, that Shemira Lishkoya Bishviloi, so Yaakov, he lost time. Kishiyotza Miber Shava. What happened? Vayifka Loi Hamokim. Yaakov Avinu, he went to travel to Choron. When he reached Choron, he said to himself, how could it be that I was not mispalel by the Kivri Ovis? So he went back. He started to go backwards to reach a Basel, Luz, Har HaMoria. And then when he arrived there, suddenly the sun set. The sun set early. Why did the sun set early? I don't know. It's not so clear. I don't know why. For some reason, when he reached Basel, there was still time in the day, and the sun set early. So Yaakov should daven there and should sleep there. Maybe because Hashem wanted him to sleep. Maybe the Pashtun never occurred to him. What's going on over there? It says that the sun set early. Why? I'm suggesting because Hashem wanted Yaakov to sleep there in that location. If the sun would not have set, then Yaakov, after he davened, would go back home, would make an about face and go back to Haran. There was enough time in the day for him to return back to go back to Haran. But Hashem wanted him to stay over. Rashi there says that a tzaddik has come to my hotel and he's not going to stay overnight. The ball b'maloini to my hotel. So Hashem supernaturally brought the sun, had it set prematurely so he would sleep on the Har HaMoria. So it turns out that Yaakov Avinu was missing time. There was a couple of hours of the day that was taken away from him because the sun set prematurely. So here, Hashem made it up to him, and Hashem caused that it should become sunrise earlier than usual. So it says, V'oizen shal shamiyara l'shkoya b'shviloi k'shiyotza me'ber sheva mihara l'zroyach b'shviloi. That's amazing. Now, because, you know, because, go back to the story of it with the Malach. The Malach said, the wrestling match is over. Because ki olo ha-shochar, shalcheni ki olo ha-shochar. But wait a minute, why? What do you mean ki olo ha-shochar? It seems from this pasuk that the Malach did not expect the sunrise. The Malach, there was really much more time left at night until it was sunrise. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was paying back Yaakov Avinu, was now causing the sun to set, to rise early, so the Malach was caught off guard and had to return back to Shemayim very quickly because it had to sing Shira. And by the way, isn't it amazing how many years it took to pay off the debt? 22 years. When did the sun set for Yaakov early? 22 years ago. And now it's 22 years later, and now Hashem is arranging that the sun should rise early to repay the time that was denied from Yaakov when he returned to Beis El. There's a gap of 22 years between these two events. First, we have Loshmei Adam. Kishiganu lamakam poloni hear lanu hashachar. Zeu pshuta. Menashagod vishach lo lutzarcho lerapois es lerapois es solatoi. To heal him. The sun is the ultimate healer. The sun brings healing. As it says in the pasuk, umarpe bichno feho. Maybe Rashi knew something about refuah that they don't know today. Today, did you ever hear such a thing? That the sun has koyach to heal? Okay, adrabah, they say today, stay out of the sun. It can cause all different types of too much exposure to the sun. It can be dangerous. Avi Rashi says that the sun has healing qualities. Okay, marbuch nefecha. V'yoyzen shal shemir al-shkoya b'shviloi k'shiyotzen b'ber sheva mihar al-lizrach b'shviloi. V'utzaleya, he was limping. Choyotzaleya, he was limping. K'shizorcha ha-shemesh, when the sun rose. Now, let's see what it says over here. In the Targum, Udenach le Shimsha. Now, what does that mean? Udenach? What is it, Udenach? It means to shine. Kimodi avar yos pinu. Well, vuhu mit matla. He was limping al yarke. Let's see what it says here in these big books. Okay, in this sefer, it doesn't say anything. Now, let's look at this book. In this book, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Let's see what it says over here. Udenach l'shoin zericha k'moyshu v'loshin ha'kosev tzad mizrach nikra kein al shem al mizrach al shem shemisham zirichas hashemesh mizrach v'chem v'loshin ramus ha'mizrach nikra madincha miloshin denach. Alright, I never knew this. It means to shine. Mizrach. I don't see the word. Okay, fine. It means to shine. That's what it says over here in Aramaic. It means to shine. And then it says matla, kavanos noite al tzidoi, tilting. Avol be. I don't know what this stands for over here. Ibn Ezra perish matla piseach ayin miluim. Ah, it says here to go to the back. Okay, so let's go to the back. Let's see what he says over here. He has another entry here for this unusual word. Vayishlach. Okay, we have over here. Okay, let me read you. Matla, to limp. Kosav hachasam soifer. Shenire mi perish Rashi. Shepirushoi noite al tzidoi. V'choluku mehapiseach. Shedoileg umikapeitz ve'inu yochol amod al ragle klal. Uvezecholik al ha. I don't know what he stands for over here. Okay, Ibn Ezra? Ibn Ezra maybe? Shekosav shaloshon tola b'loshon agamor b'loshon targum hu al hachiger. B'raglav. Umamshich, I don't know what this is. Shemashakos of Rashi, Talahu Lashon Tzad, Tzarchi, Shirashi is Savish, Kamosha, Mila Tzolea, who Misharish Tzela, Lashna Kodesh, Gamkin, who Lashna Ramis, Shetela, who Miloshan Tzela, Aval, Loikin, who Vitirgum Shol Tzolea, Metla, Vicholtagum Shol Tzela, who Lashon Tzad, Star. All right, but over here we see over here what is single here. What we see over here is that Rashi who toyot solea doesn't really explain. It seems that there's a big machloikis if Yaakov Avinu was a piseach, which means he could not walk altogether. Okay, we translate according to Targum that it says that matla means he was tilting, he was leaning on his thigh, which means he can walk. He can walk with difficulty. A person, Rachmanu Litzlan, that's a piseach, cannot walk altogether. Cannot walk. He has to be carried. He has to go in a wheelchair. So he has a whole discussion here. The word that the Targum shows, matla, appears to mean that he was tilting, and the Targum does not use the word piseach that would indicate that Yaakov Avinu could not walk altogether. He had to be carried. He had to go in a wheelchair. What was the degree of his condition in this matzav? We do not know, but at least he brings up this very interesting point. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. Okay, therefore lo yochlu v'nei shos git hanoshe asher al kaf hayorech. Ad hayoyim hazeh, why? Ki noga b'chaf yerech Yaakov. The Malach inserted his hand in the kaf yerech Yaakov. The gid hanoshe in the gid hanoshe. Okay, so what is the ability of you? It says in Rashi. Rashi pasuk of Gimel. The gid hanoshe. Lo manikra shmo gid hanoshe. Why is the sinew called the gid hanoshe? Lefi shenosho min b'komoy v'ola. It was, nosho means it was dislodged. Let's see the English, how they translate this in English. Because it sprang. Okay, I don't like that word. No, it sprang. It sprang. It was disconnected from its location, ve'olo, and ascended. Okay, it was. Shenosha mimukam over olo, v'hu loshon kifitza, to jump. V'chein, no. She saw Givura some, their power has jumped from them. V'chein ki nashani elokim eskol amoli. Hashem has, now I don't know what the connection of nashani means. Hashem nashani elokim eskol amoli. That means I have forgotten. It has left me. I'm not sure. Let's see Targum. Targum where it says, al kenev lo yachlun b'dei yisho yaskido dinashedi al Pisei Yarko. What does that mean? The Pisei Yarko, the Kaf Hayorech. We have to see. Ad Yoimodin, Ade Kirev Bifsei Yarko. Because he came near, touched in the Kaf Hayorech. The Yaakov Begida Dinashia. Now, what exactly does that mean? So let's see the English first, and how it turns out the Targum. Kirev, the children of Israel must not eat the displaced tendon, which is on the girth of the hip. What is a girth? I want to comment on that word girth, the girth of the hip. Joint to this very day, because he struck the girth of Yaakov's hip joint on the displaced tendon. What's the girth? The girth is, isn't that the circumference? What is the translation, the English meaning? Let's go to Google. Let's type in girth here. See? You can see on the screen, girth, meaning girth. Dictionary, see, we can play it.
Girth.
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 What does girth mean? It means the measurement around the middle of something, especially a person's waist, the girth. So he translates the calf to mean something very interesting. It means, again, the measurement around the middle of something. Now, I don't know where they got that from. Go back over here. He says over here in Unkelis. Unkelis says, Al kein yefer lo yochlu v'nei shol yos gida, the sinew, he calls it the tendon, Gida de Nashia. How does he translate the word Nashia? The Nashia means displaced. That's a good word. I like that. That's a nice word. Displaced. Nashia is displaced. Okay? Therefore, the Jewish people do not eat the Gida, the sinew de Nashia, that's displaced. D, because Al Pisei Yarka, the girth, the center, the thickest part of Yaakov's thigh. Where is the Gid located? The Gid is located along the Yorech, not anywhere along the Yorech. It's located along the Pisei, the thickness, the thickest part of the Yarko. Ad Yom HaDein, Arebikus Kerev, because he touched. The Malach came near. Doesn't say he touched, came near. Bifsei, the thickest part of Yarko, the Yaakov, the Gid, the Nashio, the Gid, the sinew that was displaced. Now let's go back to Rashi. Rashi, what's the Gid HaNoshe? Because it was dislocated. Dislocated, va'ola. It was dislocated and it ascended. V'loshim kefitza. Kefitza means to jump. That's not what I'm saying. It jumped from its place and went up. V'chein noshesa gerurosa. V'chein ki nashani l'kim es kol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused me. What's nashani? Nashani, he says to jump? I really don't know what he means over here. Alright, let's take a look over here at the Ma'at Sodi. Get some clarity here. Okay, let me jump down over here. You know, this is not fair because he doesn't want to comment on this. You see, this is a very powerful word here, and there's no comment on this. That's a very big shame. That's a terrible shame. Okay, what's over here? Let's see over here what it says. Lo'achlon, Gide Nashio. I'm looking at the other Sefer. Hachi Gar Sinan. The loy ke, I don't know what this means, ke nun aleph, gida de nashia, uchitvukach zog lemar, ki shem nashia, ina shem etzem acher, el toyar le gid. Kama shakosef razal, lom nikosh magida nashia, shanashia, mukamba, psalom gida nashia, kama basra chay. Alright, no explanation. But this is very interesting because I never looked at it like that. The calf, look how the English. The thigh muscle. Okay. This is the calf hayarech, the socket. He calls it over here the calf, the socket. Okay, that's how it's translated over here in this version, this English, the socket of the thigh. Why would you call it a socket? Because the joints. There's a piece of one bone that has a certain shape, and it fits into a socket. And a calf is a spoon. A calf generally means a spoon. What is a spoon? A receptacle. So the thigh has a receptacle into which another bone is inserted. And it's loose to a degree so that it can bend, it can move. Person can move around, and the flesh sabari can walk, can bend. So there's a cavity in the bone at the end of one bone, which allows another bone to be inserted. So the cavity is called a calf, a spoon. A spoon is concave to allow something to be contained. And along that area, that section where the two bones connect, there is a sinew, a tendon that runs along the surface, and that sinew is called the gid, is a gid. And that gid was dislocated, it was nosha, it was dislocated, and that's why Yaakov had limped, it was dislocated. And where can you find that gid? You can find it along the socket. The calf high. That's what I've been taught when I was, I don't know when, but that's how I always understood it. And I think the translation over here is the socket of the hip is a very good translation. And I think that's the way most people are understood this passage. Along comes the unculus. It doesn't say that. The calf does not mean a spoon. It means the girth. What is the girth? The girth, in this context, the way you look up in the dictionary, means the thickest portion of the thigh. We're not dealing with the location where there's a connection. There's a socket, and a bone is put into the socket. It's along the pasi means thickness. See, now this is an Aramaic word in the Gemara. The pusia. Pusia means the thickness. Alkane. It's an amazing machlokes. Alkane, therefore, lo yechlin reishol yos gida denashia. The gid, this tendon that has been dislocated, where can we find it on the body? You know where you can find it? D. It is al, above, the pisei yarka, the thickest portion of the thigh. Is the word, he's translating the word, the calf, as the pisei, thick. Okay, in the English it says girth, but I think in my similar vocabulary, it's the thickest part of the yarka. Is that the same translation as what it says here, over here in the English, on the socket of the hip? Doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's something different. The socket is the socket, and the thickest portion of the hip is not the socket, not necessarily the socket. Okay, is Rashi coming to argue? No. Rashi doesn't make any comment on this whatsoever. Rashi is silent. If Rashi is silent, usually that indicates that Rashi is in agreement. And if Targum says the Pesei, that gives a whole new meaning to the sugya of Gid Hanoshe. We learned this morning there was a person who came to Avinus and Eibeshitz. He went over the entire world telling people that they don't know what they're doing. They have selected a gid along the leg which they feel is the Gid Hanoshe, and he proved to them that they're wrong. That's not the Gid Hanoshe, it's different. It's interesting, you go look over here in this Targum, you see what the Targum over here is saying, it's not the socket. It says here the Pesei Yarka. Okay, I don't know what that. This is very interesting. I never heard such a translation, the Pesei Yarka. Now, it says, okay, lo yechlun. Now, over here, for some reason, Rechabe got very excited about the word yechlun. What is it over here? Okay, lo yechlun. Lo yechlun. Mashu du sipur devarim. Uperusho, I'm reading what it says in the same. Uperusho, kumoshakots varadak, al pipashtos. Dibnei Yaakov, osrum al atzmon l'chvod avihem, shaloka boi. Vehem tzivu l'vnehem. They command their children. He says over here, in other words, what does it mean over in this passage? Therefore, lo yochlu v'nei Yisrael. Who is the originator of this mitzvah? So I always thought, I never thought. No, I don't think too much. You know the joke? Until you're 30 years old, until you're, I'll make up numbers, until you're 30 years old, you're very worried in your life what people think about you. Then you get older and you become rebellious. I don't care what they think. I'll do whatever I want. Then you get older. And then you say to yourself, guess what? These people, they're not thinking about me altogether. I don't have to be rebellious. They couldn't give a hoot about me. They're thinking about other things, about themselves. They're not thinking about me. And then you get older and you realize, guess what? These people out there, they don't think, period. They don't have a brain in their head. When your youth is wasted on the young, when you're young, you think people are thinking about you. And you want to be good. Then you become rebellious. I don't care what they think. Then you realize they're thinking, but not about me. They're thinking about themselves, about someone else. And then you reach the ultimate madrega, and you come to realize, Meir, the olam out there, they don't think, period. There's no pulse. They don't have a pulse in their head. Okay, so we hear... What did you think with this pasuk? What does it mean? So over here he says over here something incredible chiddush, which means that who invented this mitzvah? Why is this mitzvah not repeated again a second time?
People just show up at the door, and that's
who's watching television over here. this. What does it say over here? What did we learn this morning? This is the only mitzvah. Mayor, what are you doing? Turn off the computer. I put you on mute. We learned in the morning that Gira Nosh is the only mitzvah which is not repeated after Matan Torah. Even the Zayin mitzvahs B'nei Noyach are repeated again after Matan Torah. And when we are Mekayim the Zayin mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, we have a different set of rules than the rules of the original Zayin mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, because it was given a second time after Matan Torah with different details. The only mitzvah that was not repeated after Matan Torah is Gira Nosh. There's no Zeicha to Gira Nosh after Matan Torah, and yet it's one of the Tayyar mitzvahs. So over here he's saying, you know why that's so? Because the one who made the mitzvah is not Hashem. The mitzvah originated by Yaakov's children. Pasuk says, okay, and therefore, Lo Yechlun B'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael means the children of Yisrael, of Yaakov. Yaakov are two names. I mean, ladies and gays, and get the name, Hashem doesn't change his name, Yisrael. They on their own decided, you know what? Because our father was injured, it was partially our fault, we didn't accompany him. Therefore, as a zecher for what happened to our father, we are going to make a takana that we are not going to need to get nashe. So this was an enactment by the, not from Hashem. Hashem is not the originator of this mitzvah. This mitzvah was like a takanas chazal. Who is chazal? The Shiftei Kor, and it got the status of one of the Tariag Mitzvahs, but it stands in a class by itself, is that the ones who originated, it's not divine. They're the ones who decided. That appears to be the traditional Mikra, and that's what he says. Who says this? I don't know who says it. This is Omnam, Yu'uyin B'Rivo, Shekosu L'Hepoch, the Medivrei, Uncle Litz Mashm, Medivrei Chazal. The pasuk says, "Shechzu Allah ben Sinai Nemar, ve'al Sinai loyu, ve'Sinai Nemar, ve'ad Sinai loyu husharu, elo shenichlam b'mukayim oli achar shenem b'Sinai, ve'shekasam b'Sinai loyu zekara, kasam b'kara ze ala ma'isa, ve'al kein husharu ne'ishulach lekein shloyu chus kara, nashu lekein lo tikim kain lo yechlon ki ein kain mokim at sivui, ve'im hoy mitayim lo yechlon o yimashma, the kain mokim at sivui." וכדי להוציא מהמשמעות הזה, על כן תרגם לא אוכלים, כי לא אוכלים, כי אין כאן מקום הציווי. Alright, saying over here something very deep. Saying over here is, על כן לא יאכלון. I don't understand what you're trying to say over here. I really don't. יאכלון, יאכלון. The way that I לא תמכן לא יאכלון. But rather it says there should be like a missing yud. It seems like this is very important. This is very important. We'll finish up very quickly. But it seems this is a very important idea. Lo oichlim loshen hoyve, present tense. So you give them now I see. Over here in the Ma'atzar he explains. This is very interesting. It appears that there are different girsois. What is the correct girsa for this word? On the screen, it says, Al Kain Lo Yechilun. There is a tsere under the yud. Yechilun. In the version that I have over here, in this sefer that I'm using over here, maybe we'll look in Arch, when it says that is a mistake. That is a not correct unculus. The authentic version of unculus says was an aleph. Al kein lo ochlin. What's the difference? Ochlin means in the present tense. If it says lo yechlun in the future tense, the connotation of the future tense is a command. Lo Yechlon, let's see, Losh Noivem, Vizua Gisel, Bring his Abal Tesis, Superishu, Shami Atsman Hoy on the Sonim Milechel, Kavish Nisabe Zayaka, because I'm Shames of it. The old Perushul Hepoch, Shakan, who has her Sinai, Shaka, Shemra, Sinai, Kirin Lo Tigim Lo Yechlon, Shahimasha, Shakan, Mokam at Sivui, Aval Alkin, Lo Yazav, Agam Yishwaik. Alright. He's saying over here, I don't have the whole thing, was out of time, the whole idea, but basically over here is the very big naftimina is, if you if the correct version, lo is lo yechlun, I don't know the grammar, how this works, the connotation is a command. You shall not. You shall not eat the gir hanosha. If the correct version is what we have here on the screen with the yud and its tsere, then it would appear that at this moment in time, it's like the Zayin mitzvah v'nei noach. Hashem at this moment in time is giving a command. Because of this maisa, I'm commanding you, no longer shall you ever eat the gid hanosha. It's a divine command. Lo yechlun. But if the correct girsa is with an aleph, lo ochlin, then the connotation, it's not a command, it's a statement of fact. Because of this story, that's the reason why the Jewish people don't eat gid hanosha. Why? So you could say one of two things. Either that the children of Yaakov themselves created this halacha, or really at Har Sinai, Hashem commanded, but the pasuk here is foreshadowing what's going to be at Har Sinai. But it's not a command that's been given now. If the girsa is lo yechlun, then just like we have seven mitzvahs that were given to the goyim before Matan Torah, so too we have here a mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people before Matan Torah, a command, don't do this. But if the correct girsa is with an aleph, lo ochlin, Hashem is not commanding you not to do it. The one that is, it's a custom. The Bnei Yaakov decided not to do it. Or, eventually, Hashem and Har Sinai will give us a command, not to get a Moshe. And the pasuk here is telling you that when it's going to happen in the future, that Hashem will give you the command, you can trace it back to this story. This is the story why HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Har Sinai gave us the command then. But the command is not being given now. It's a very fine point. Is the girsa lo yechlun or lo ochlin? Our girsa on the screen, lo yechlun, has a connotation. I am commanding you today, now, before Matan Torah, don't do this. And the result will be that this will be the only mitzvah that's going to be given to the Jewish people before Matan Torah. But if the girsa is lo ochlin, then no. This mitzvah will be given to the Jewish people after Matan Torah. Or this mitzvah was never given by Hashem. Hashem, it was done, it was enacted by the Shvatim. And maybe Hashem rubber stamped it. But it's not a command that's been given now. It was commanded later on. And we're just coming to trace backwards when it came into existence. All right, we learned a lot of interesting things today by Rabbi Sai. Thank you for coming very much. Very geschmack to learn with everyone. Have a good night. Be well.
Where's Aaron?
Aaron who? Rappaport? Aaron who?
Yeah.
He never comes anymore. He doesn't come anymore.
Hello?
He hasn't. You hear me?
Yeah.
He doesn't come. He doesn't come to the Chumashir.
Okay.
He comes to the Daf Yomi. Every night he comes to the Daf Yomi.
Hey, buddy.
Why don't you come to Daf Yomi? It's entertainment. We're just going to make jokes the whole night.
Yeah.
Come one night.
We
just make jokes the whole night.
I don't think you like the jokes I make.
Who says?
Actually, I should come in the dark. I'm very good at that.
Okay, so come 8:30. We have a very funny crew. a very funny, cynical crew.
No Shabbat brachas tonight?
I'm done.
No Shabbat brachas tonight?
No Shabbat brachas. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
So if they're married, we'll have Shabbat brachas.
Yeah.
49 brachas at least.
49 brachas. 7 times 7.
It's more, it's 8, I think. Because the Sheva brachas by the Chuppah 2.
Oh, you're saying Taka very good. You're saying how many brachas when a person gets married? You're saying Gvaldik.
So,
well, first of all, you're really supposed to have, you can have theoretically multiple. You can have every meal, you can have Sheva brachas.
Right,
you can have on Shabbos, you can have Shabbos 3 times. You can have during the week twice. By the wedding itself you have twice. You have a Shabbat when you finish the wedding. And you have under the chuppah, there's seven, and then there's two more. You make the bracha of Asher Kedushanu al Harayos, and Bor Pei Gofen. So you're saying very good. What is the maximum number of brachas you can have? If you have two Sheva brachas every day, and three on Shabbos, and the wedding, you have also two, you have two by the, well, by the wedding so itself. Make a calculation.
86 and 7.
So off the bat, it's 7 times 7 is 49.
93.
You have to get a calculator. You come out to like probably almost like 100, 150 Sheva brachas.
On Sunday, you could add another two.
Every day, let's say you have two. That's the halacha. You have two.